This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Mr. Bradbury.
And of course, Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, guys.
Lined up on today's show, as per usual, we've got a little bit of news coming for you right up in just a couple of seconds. We have a car review, of course. It's a Merc this week, so the two boys might be getting a little bit more excited than me. And then, of course, our AT&T segment a little bit later on is about lithium-ion car batteries versus the wet cell battery. All very exciting stuff, I'm sure. First up, though, of course, it is the news with Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif. Give me some Malaysian news, in particular, fake news. What's going on?
Yep, as everybody knows, last week, the Proton X70 SUV was released. And almost immediately, I got WhatsApp messages alleging
the prices
of the car. And it said that the prices start at 86K for the low spec, and it topped out at 140,000 ringgit. But as you mentioned, it's all fake news.
Weren't those the prices that you predicted, though, Daniel?
Not really. Those prices are actually way too low. Mm. And the top end are way too high.
Right.
Yeah, man. 140,000 ringgit, that's...
People posting on my Facebook page saying 150,000 ringgit for this car is way too much. And I'm thinking, hang on, I don't remember talking about it being 150,000
ringgit. Exactly, and you're the expert.
And I'm the expert. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say.
Yes. Yep, so the real prices will be released soon. And I think we're sticking with the prediction 115,000 ringgit for the top spec.
Let's stick to that. I think it might move a smidgen up, but I don't think it'll go above 120. But if it does, I think... Proton and Geely will have a little bit of problem convincing enough Malaysians to buy this SUV when the competitors are so closely priced.
Especially if it's supposed to be your family-oriented car.
Yes, but also because, you know, the brand image, it's not that the brand image is bad, but it's not as good as the current competitors in the segment.
All right.
Yeah.
So, petrol prices then?
Yep, so this one is another one that came from a rumor mill. Apparently, there were rumors that the government had planned to reduce petrol prices to about 150, but they've come out to say no. There was no such pledge in the manifesto, and unless crude oil prices drops, it won't go any lower than 220.
Which is not likely to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, but in any case, they're working on a fuel subsidy system that will be given to motorcycles below 125cc, as well as cars with engines below 1.3 litres.
A lot of people are going to hate me for this, as usual, but I think...
I was going to say, what's new?
I think you shouldn't bring down the price of petrol. Why? Because Malaysians tend to think the moment the price of petrol comes down, they say, oh, I think I need to go and have my special pow in Tanjung Malim. So they drive all the way just to have a $2 pow. And I think all this is being ridiculous because you're being on the road for no reason, simply because petrol prices are cheap.
Right.
A lot of small capacity cars actually are very expensive luxury cars, some of them. So they are saving fuel. And why should you do that? And the second thing is, I think in developed nations, people don't do this.
No, they don't. Yeah. They do not queue in petrol stations
to fill up.
They just don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very odd thing.
So I think Malaysians need to understand this and learn this, because think about it. Don't talk about Singapore because that's a small island. But in Thailand, petrol prices and diesel prices are higher than Malaysia.
Right.
And they make it work.
Yeah.
And still, when you take a taxi, it's cheaper than the taxi prices
here. This is true.
And their car prices are almost the same.
Right. Okay, let's move on then from petrol prices to how Audi and Range Rover might be making some movements back here.
Yes.
This was a story from DSF.my. I didn't actually notice that Audi
you
Malaysia
disappeared.
You got it
from that website.
Yes. And the funny thing is, nobody else carried the story.
Oh.
Because we at
Where
BFM...
Where did you get the gossip from?
Because we at BFM, we go out and investigate. So it seems that somebody, a company, a huge company, is now pitching very strongly with Audi AG to get the franchise away from Euromobile.
Wait. When you say a big company, you're like when your girlfriend or your boyfriend says a friend.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There's a name.
Yes.
Can you give us a name?
I can't give you the name because... until yesterday, there were two players in this game.
Okay.
And one of them is actually publicly listed, the other one is not. So I'll just give you
that's
that.
Enough. That's enough.
So, yeah. You know, investor relations, stockholders, uh-huh. things like that. So they said, please don't say anything. Give us enough time and we will reveal it.
All right. Okay, that's enough for us. Carry on then.
It's the rumors that they've been looking for a local assembly partner to compete with BMW, Mercedes and Volvo,
exactly.
Right?
They need it.
Yep. But I've been thinking, could the upcoming NEP play a role in this? Because after the SSD was announced, a lot of CKD cars prices came down, right? And could Audi and Range Rover actually are also going to start assembling their cars here?
Of course, could it be? Because they're going to save money.
Yeah.
Now, when I say save money, not really save money. They're going to be able to sell cars at a better price. Mm. Malaysians will be able to
afford them.
And you'll take away the margins and the selling ability of the grey importers. Because when it's CKD, the price comes so low. For example, now, all the CKD cars from Mercedes-Benz and BMW are not sold by grey importers because they can't play with the margin.
Yeah, yeah.
So this will help.
So if we're looking at, what's the current price of a Range Rover now? Standard model?
It starts from 700,000.
700,000. Yes. So if they were to be assembled here then, what would the price reduction be roughly, do we think?
Well, give or take 100,000.
Really?
But you see, I'm not worried about that little thing. I'm thinking of the plug-in hybrid Range Rover Sport 400, because that is selling like hot cakes in UK, and even the European nations are starting to order that car. And then you got cars like the I-Pace, the Jaguar has got. If that also comes in, they can do local assembly. Because why? If they take it completely, they can make Malaysia the hub to be distributed to neighboring countries.
That's true.
And you make money here. Instead of Jaguar Land Rover thinking, you know, if Malaysia can't work, I go to Thailand, which a lot of companies did,
and we
lost out.
All right, moving on then to Vietnam's national car maker, VinFast. They're going to the Paris Motor Show. Is this the first time?
Yes.
Yes. So I brought this up because, honestly, the two cars that they're going to show there, a sedan and an SUV, both concepts designed by Itel Design, they're based on the previous F10 5 Series and the F15 X5 platform. So I think they're probably going to drive well, but of course it remains to be seen. And
it's all about build quality.
Mm-hmm. It's all about build quality.
It's not about engineering, build quality.
Yeah. The engines also come from BMW. It's the N20 B20, which ranges from about 175 to about 230 horsepower. And I'm thinking that with our national car plans, it's going to be tough to beat this VinFast because of all the branding that it's been given already.
Daniel?
I don't think they have a chance against us. We are far ahead.
Well, that's very brave. We've
already got dealerships. We got the brand name. We already got people in the market. We already have a factory running. We've already got after sales. Proton dealerships are converting as fast as you can talk about it. So they're going to be lagging behind. And, you know, if you're going to use BMW technology, it will not be reasonably priced.
That's true.
If you're coming from Vietnam, you'll have the stigma when early China cars used to come.
Yeah.
So it'll take some time, take some time.
All right, final piece of news before we move on to our car launches this week. Cameras as wing mirrors. What is this?
Yeah, so you know your wing mirrors that has mirrors in it? Well,
right?
It's a camera now. It's basically just a thing that sticks out of where your wing mirror used to be, and it's just a camera. And it's going to be introduced in the Japanese JDM spec Lexus ES. And the weird thing about it is that they have like two Garmin-size screens staring at you from around the A-pillar, and it kind of looks out of place. And for an interior as nice as a Lexus, that kind of ruins it.
Kills the look of the car.
It totally does. I'm not sure about how effective it will be, but you know, that's just skepticism, I guess.
Could this mean, though, that people will now be borrowing wing mirrors, so to speak?
See, my issue is scooters.
Ah, good point.
In Malaysia, always.
Dink. Wasn't my fault.
The first thing to go is always your wing mirrors.
Yeah.
In traffic jam. So can you imagine having a camera?
Right.
Can you imagine having all this technology sitting there?
Right.
Already with some cars, you've got all the blind spot monitoring and all kinds of little gadgets in your wing mirror. And when you get hit by a motorcycle, it's not cheap. So now imagine having a camera. Yeah.
All right then. Finally, before we move on to something else, we've got the new car launches for this week. Let's stay local. What's launched here in Malaysia this week?
So Mercedes has released a new package for the CLA 200 and GLA 200. It's called the Night Edition. You basically get fancy lights and stuff, cosmetics, I guess.
Fancy
it's got
lights
an easy body
and
kit
stuff.
And slightly updated
but
stuff.
The question is, can you drive it in the day?
It disappears
so.
In the day.
Because it's Night Edition.
Right. It disappears in the day.
I saw one on the road the other day and I thought it looked quite good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to pay a premium, it's 242,000 to start.
Nothing for Richard.
Nothing for me. Jaguar then.
Yeah, we've got the F-Type 2-liter. It's still crazy expensive. So if you've suddenly won a lottery and want to spend 576,000 ringgit on a Jaguar F-Type, it will still be cheap to run because it's just a 2-liter turbo engine.
Okay, I like to come back to what you said. It's too expensive. Yeah. I don't think it's too expensive because the Porsche came in slightly more.
Oh.
And this is a Jaguar.
Well, I don't know.
We're talking about us in this room, though. I mean, yeah, in terms of expense.
But you see, if you meet someone in a coffee house,
yes,
or in an expensive restaurant, and they say, hey, Richard, what are you driving? I'm driving a Porsche. But when I walk in, I say, I'm driving a Jaguar.
That works. That works for me, yeah.
The Jeremy Clarkson Jag. Yeah. That, you know, that adds a...
Yes,
I think
it does.
I think it's just one level up in terms of prestige and luxury.
From a Myvi.
Yeah.
Okay. Global car launches then.
Yep. So we saw the 2019 Mercedes GLE. It looks almost exactly the same, slightly beefier though. We've also got a host of releases from BMW. They've got the X5 45e, gives you more range for the plug-in hybrid, as well as a 300 horsepower 2-liter turbo X2 M35i, and the BMW X3 M and X4 M for the niche markets.
I'm just hearing a lot of codes.
Yeah.
What's so special about the X3 M and the X4 M? I mean, you know, educate me a little bit.
So, where do we begin? M badges everywhere.
Okay.
3-liter straight six twin turbo. You're going to get close to 400 horsepower on that. And it's a BMW, so it's going to be built reasonably well.
Solid.
And it could finally compete with the Porsches.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, was the news with Mr. Arif Ruse. Stick around. We'll be back with our AT&T segment in just a sec. BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Cruise Control. My name is Richard Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and Mr. Arif Ruse. If you've only just tuned in, we spoke about fake Proton X70 prices. We've had a chat about cameras as wing mirrors. Audi and Range Rovers could be here back in Malaysia. Moving on now to our AT&T segment. It's all about lithium-ion car batteries, don't get bored, versus the wet cell battery.
Auto technology and tips brought to you by Volvo, made by Sweden.
Daniel, what's all this about?
This actually came up by accident. I had a chance to sit in a $2 million McLaren.
Wait. Do you see how he just drops that? Right? I had a chance to just sit in a $2 million McLaren.
Yes, and it's called a long tail.
Okay.
Because it's got a long tail.
Uh-huh. This sounds like a long tail too. Yes. Carry on.
So when I was sitting this guy and then we tried to start it and it didn't want to start. So, so because the car had been sitting in the showroom for a long time.
Right.
It's a car that it's... The person who bought it wants to flip it because it'll go up in value. Mm. But he said, oh, start it up. And we couldn't start it. And then we started talking and trying to figure out what it was. Then we said, okay, let's jump start it, you know?
Right.
That's what we all do. Then we realized it's using a lithium ion battery. Now, why lithium ion battery? So I did a bit of research and started looking around. A lot of car manufacturers, hypercar and supercar manufacturers today have actually started using lithium ion batteries to start up the car, not as hybrid batteries. Reason is very simple. It's about 25% the weight of a normal car battery.
I see.
So you make the car lighter.
Yeah.
It's easier to manage. Lasts 6 to 7 times longer. So your normal car battery probably 1 to 2 years. Normally you get a warranty for 2 years at best if you get an expensive battery. This one will go to 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Okay. But here's the problem. Like your phone, like your laptop computer, a lithium ion battery, if you don't use it, you can't jump start it.
Mm.
That's number one. And if you wanted to say, you know, push start the car, for example, you can't do that also, which is like jump starting. So what do? You have to take out the battery, plug it in, discharge it. Of course, it's discharged, but, you know, completely discharge it and then recharge it completely and put it in. Now, here comes the next issue. Now, if you're buying a supercar with a lithium ion battery and you think you want to keep it like this gentleman who wanted to flip it in some future deal, you can't do that also because the battery will not charge by you just starting the car every few days. You actually have to drive it.
Oh.
So the alternator that charges it must have the car driven. So if you just, while parking, if you just start the car and leave it idle for an hour,
it won't charge it.
It won't charge it. You won't charge it all. It might go a little bit up, 1-2%, and that's about it. You have to drive it. So driving it means you put miles on it. And if you put miles on it,
the value
your
drops.
Value drops. So what do? You need to actually remove the battery, keep it aside. When you decide you have a journalist from BFM who wants to come and start it.
Check out your very expensive car that won't start.
Then you put it in and you start it.
Right.
So what do you do when the battery is out? You actually keep charging it every now and then.
And that gets around the not driving it part, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly. But I see. You also wear out the battery.
Right.
So I asked him, how much is a replacement battery for this? So he said, I'm going to check because now the car cannot start. So he went and checked. It's 9,000 ringgit.
Wow.
And that's at a special price.
Best price.
Best price.
Wow.
From the company itself in the UK. Delivered. So I'm just thinking now, what if this became mass produced? That means every car, including the Myvi, the Proton, the Toyotas, and Nissans, if they all use lithium ion batteries, we will be using it daily, right?
Mm.
You know, we're not going to use it just for show and flip it. It's actually quite good because first of all, you get something that's lighter, lasts longer. And of course, if the price may be high now, but if you do it mass produce, it's going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So if you buy a normal car battery, now it ranges from about 200 ringgit to about 900 ringgit for an average car. But if you get this for about the same price, it lasts longer, you'll be happier, and you'll get a better charge because lithium ion batteries give actually a better charge when you start up.
Mm.
So why aren't car manufacturers investing in this? Why are we still using a battery cell that has been used for God knows how many years? Why have we not moved forward in this technology? Why is the automotive industry holding back on lithium ion batteries for normal cars?
Answer your own question then, Daniel. Why do you think it is?
I don't know.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, the fact that they last a heck of a lot longer, they're lighter as well, from what I understand,
yes.
as well, aren't they?
Yes.
I don't understand why they're not looking at it. I mean, maybe is it something to do with safety, perhaps? Are they less safe than your traditional car battery?
Think about it. If you're using it as your handphone and your laptop
right.
computer,
yeah.
how bad can it be?
Mm.
That's true.
We're using it all the time.
Right.
We have it in so many devices.
Well, you know, why don't we ask people at home what they reckon? You know, they can do that and get in touch with us via WhatsApp.
Exactly.
018-789-8899 to get us on WhatsApp or get us on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. Why do you think car manufacturers are not invested more in lithium-ion car batteries? Let us know.
Yes.
And we'll get back to you next week. Okay, that, of course, was our AT&T segment here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
This segment was brought to you by Volvo. Inspiring technology, shaping tomorrow's mobility.
Now, of course, we can't end the show without having a car review. And today's car review is, of course, a Mercedes-Benz. But no, it's not just any normal Mercedes-Benz. It's Mercedes-Benz C250 Coupe, the Diet Grand Tourer. Why the Diet Grand Tourer?
Because, you see, Grand Tourers are supposed to be big.
Say it with gusto.
Yeah, big, commanding,
right?
Impressive.
That's it. You've got it. Yeah, yeah.
Coupes, but this is a compact coupe.
Oh,
it's a C-class with two doors missing, and
two doors missing.
Yeah, because a C-class has got four doors. It's got two doors. Coupe shape. It's got a slightly smaller boot. It's a nimbler little machine, and it costs more money because it's fully imported. But that's not the issue here. So we took the car out for a test drive and we thought to ourselves, okay, you know, C-Class, it's a handsome looking car. But personally, my taste, I didn't like the rear end.
Oh.
I preferred the sedan rear end.
Totally agree with you there.
Yes. The coupe rear end just didn't do it for me. And somehow or other, it reminded me of a car which I once found quite unusual. The very old Nissan Bluebird.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yes, which it had a very sloping rear end also. What they call the ducktail.
Yeah,
it almost
had
like a ducktail. So this car reminded me of that. But design aside, because, you know, one man's fish is another man's meat, I still took it out for a test drive. It drives exactly like a C250. It's nice. It's comfortable. It gets you there. But the thing is, between the C250 and this, the price is about 60 to 70,000 ringgit, depending on the spec you take. Why would you pay more money for this? I will tell you three reasons. Because when I drove this car over the long weekend, three times the opposite sex gave me the thumbs up in traffic.
That's it.
That's the advantage of driving a Mercedes.
My word.
No, honestly, this coupe with the rims, with the AMG look, it looks quite impressive on the move.
Right.
And
it's very rounded.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the ladies who gave me the thumbs up was actually driving the sedan version. Another one was actually driving an E-Class, an older E-Class. And the third one was actually waiting at the side of the road at a traffic light.
Mm.
Now, I don't think they were attracted to me. I think it was more the car. The car looked very impressive, intimidating. You know, something that says, wow, this man has arrived.
It looks sporty and it looks expensive.
Yes, that's the thing.
Honestly, every time I see one of these coupes, a C-Class coupes pass by, it really is a looker, especially at night.
At motion, it's
and,
very...
Yeah.
Handsome, but if you park it and then you start analyzing it around, then you start, you know, finding little things that are wrong with the design. But in motion, it's nice to look at.
Okay, then when you say it's parked up and you spot little niggling things, what are they?
The rear.
Uh-huh.
The rims, I think, are too big because we've got too many speed bumps here and too many ruts and holes in the road. So the crashing sound is a bit unnerving, you know, when you go. But it gives that car that image, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The front grille is a typical AMG grille with little spots on it. You know, the little metallic spots. I like that because in motion, it really shows the element of speed, you know. Even though it's a 2-liter turbo, it's not very powerful.
Right.
You know.
But it looks aggressive.
Yes.
You know, at the front, it looks aggressive.
Yes.
At the back, yeah, not so much.
Yes. Maybe a little bit of a spoiler will change things, you know. But, you know, we don't have a spoiler alert here, so we don't know what they want to do with it.
To say you had it for the entire long weekend, I think that's probably the shortest review of Mercedes we've had on the show so far.
Yes, yes.
Which is
but the 2-liter engine is same as the 2-liter engine in the C250 sedan.
Mm.
It's got the same power output, the same 0 to 60 top speed and everything else. I think maybe for Mercedes-Benz, this is a car that you sell to a group of people who are not really bothered about price, but just want to be noticed and have something a little bit different without costing the earth.
How much does it cost?
Okay, the price at the moment with the AMG spec is 316,000 ringgit.
Oh.
And it's sold out.
It's sold out already?
It's sold out. It's
wow.
sold out. So you have to wait for the next batch. If you're one of the 78,000 people listening to the show, please remember you got to wait to get your C 250 Coupe AMG.
Okay, we're going to move on to what would have been the 9-point inspection, but now you've answered one of the questions, so it's taken it down again to an 8-point inspection.
Yes.
Okay, who is the car for?
Initially, I would say it's for ladies. It's, you know, but after driving it and seeing the reaction from the ladies, I think it's more for men looking for ladies.
Ooh. Number two, how does it stack up against the BMW 420i?
Good, good. Physically, emotionally, I think the BMW looks better.
Uh-huh.
Personal taste. But in terms of driving, I think it's almost apple to apple.
Oh.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Almost. Because you know why? With the rim size and everything else, you can't really push this car in Klang Valley.
That's true.
But as a grand tourer on the highway,
hmm.
I think it should be fine.
Which kind of answers the next question, is the engine powerful enough?
No. Because for what you see, physical presence, it's still got a 211 horsepower engine. So it feels, it's not that it's slow, but it's not as fast as it looks. That's the right word.
Yeah. I have an analogy in my head, which is not radio friendly, so
okay.
We'll move on.
Okay.
Is the ride any good?
Sadly, in our Klang Valley roads, I found it to be a little bit upsetting.
Oh.
Because the roads are not perfect.
Mm.
And I live in Petaling Jaya.
Mm.
You know, I love Petaling Jaya because the roads are designed for me to test all kinds of vehicles in all kinds of conditions. Because there's so many holes, bumps, waterlogged streets.
Off-road moments.
Yes,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I thank the town council for this.
Yeah, I get it. Any good for highways and B roads?
Ah, highways, perfect. B roads, I think the oversized rims will start to...
Give you a bit of a hassle.
To speak back to you.
Is the infotainment system any good?
Very good.
Is the car well-equipped, well-built?
Very well-equipped, very well-built. Mercedes-Benz, you need not ask.
Of course. Would you consider this over its rivals?
Okay. Sadly, I will not consider this. I think as a car enthusiast, I need something that talks to me even more. It might not be a BMW, it might not even be an Audi, it could even be a Japanese car.
But it's a Mercedes, Daniel.
Yes, yes, exactly. But if I'm going to go for a Mercedes, I'd rather go and buy the C350e, which has got more power. It may be a sedan, but I find it more inviting in terms of looks. And of course, the dynamics of that car is much better.
Totally agree. I think the C350e is better than the 330e. And it's such a gorgeous car.
And it costs less.
And it costs less?
Yes.
Wow. I mean... Yeah, Totally. The C350E will be just the C-Class to buy right now.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, that's a discussion for you guys to have off air. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to Cruise Control this week. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget we started off with news, fake Proton X70 prices. Beware of WhatsApp messages telling you that prices start at 86,000 because they don't. We don't know the full prices yet. We will be revealing that when we do know.
Exactly.
We then spoke about Audi and Range Rover looking to assemble their cars here. That's all happy stuff. Our AT&T segment was all about lithium-ion car batteries versus the wet cell. And of course, we wrapped up with the Mercedes-Benz C250 Coupe, the Diet Grand Tourer here on Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and Arif Ruse, this has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.